Today's show is brought to you by Vinyl Me Please. Join the Record of the Month Club at joinvmp.com/songspodcast. Hey everyone, before we get into the episode, I do want to give you a friendly reminder that each and every episode comes with a unique playlist via Spotify or Apple Music. You can go to songspodcast.com or scroll down to the description of this episode and click on a link to the playlist, Apple Music, Spotify. They are there for you to experience the songs that we talk about on each and every episode. Thank you so much, and let's get right to it. Songs for the moment. This episode's coming out a little late. I was up really, really late one day, and I was supposed to go over Sean's house to record, but I slept most of the day because I'm an idiot. But don't worry, we're not going to skip a week. You're getting an episode, and this is the episode that you voted for. But before we talk about all that good stuff, let me introduce my co-host, the producer, my buddy, Sean Hebert. How you doing?
Doing awesome, man. Hope you've recuperated.
Yeah, man. It seems like every time that I hang out with Zach, I stay up till the dawn.
I see the sunrise in the morn.
Yeah. It's weird. It feels like old times, to be honest. So that happened. And I had this really good coffee the other day from Wawa. It was the winter roast. It's like Wawa Reserve. They're like a special like tank and everything. Ooh. And had like a hint of graham cracker, a hint of dark chocolate, according to what it said on the thing. But it was good. I liked it. So that was my really, really good wake up call.
Yeah, I haven't been buying Wawa coffee. I've been making my coffee every morning just because, you know.
Well, that's what I do. But I didn't have my French press with me. Had to get my coffee fixed somewhere, and I was going to get the Cuban roast, the one that you told me about, and I ended up getting the other thing, because I saw it looked fancy. I was like, I'm going to try it. It looks fancy.
Well, yeah, because Wawa's always, they've been doing this thing lately where they have, like, one fancy roast that, like, rotates in and out over the year.
That's cool. I dig mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. I dig it. But this week, we're not here to talk about coffee. We're here to talk about 80s metal / hair metal. Some would argue it's one and the same.
Sometimes.
Depending. Yeah, sometimes. So we each brought you guys, as usual, like we always do. I got 5 songs. Glenn's got 5 songs. We're going to mash them together. We're going to talk about them. And then you guys are going to scroll down to the show notes. Click on the Apple Music or Spotify link, whichever is your platform of choice, and listen to them, because, like, why the fuck not?
Exactly. Also, soon, I wouldn't say this week, but soon, we got ourselves a Station Head channel, which is an app that you can listen to people talk about music live and listen to songs live. So it's basically like a mobile radio station. We are a Station Head ambassador. So we are going to be doing some fun things on there. Very soon, so look out for our social media on that and our website and all that good stuff. That's at Songs Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. So let's talk about this, what you guys voted for, like Sean said. And Sean, let's. You want to start? Or you want me to start? Since you did it like 2 weeks in a row, you want me to start?
Yeah, again? You start. Yeah, you start this week.
Okay, I am going to start with obviously one of the pioneers of metal. Went solo after Black Sabbath and had a song that it's one of my favorite Ozzy Osbourne songs for sure, and it's called Mr. Crawley. For no particular reason other than I feel like the Mr. Crawley, Aleister Crawley, like, myth. Well, he's not really a myth. He was a real person, but, like, it's just always fun to see metal acts talk about the subject matter or like talk about Aleister Crawley in some way, because I feel like Aleister Crawley influences a lot of people. I mean, even the Beatles had Aleister Crawley influences. Apparently, mm-hmm. they read his text and he's on the cover of Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. But I really like the song. He tells a really good story. And I believe, what album is this on? I believe it is on, I put the version on the playlist that is on, Best Of, but it's on Blizzard of Oz. So I love that album cover too. It's one of my favorite album covers. But it's a good song, and Do It Thy Will, obviously, I have that tattooed on my chest as well, so that's probably why I picked that song too. So no really big it's just one of my favorite Ozzy songs, and 1980 it came out, so right in the beginning of the 80s, so it's a good way to kick this off.
Yeah, I was never, to be honest with you, and people are gonna might be surprised by this, but since I'm really into metal, but I was never a super big Ozzy fan. Like, it's not like I actively hate on it or anything. Yeah. You know, it was never one of those bands that I got really into, or one of those, or just even into him, you know?
Yeah.
But I appreciate it. But that brings me to my next song, which is also a band I was never really super into, but this song rips. It is Motley Crue's Kickstart My Heart. This song makes me want to just get on a treadmill, crank it to max, and go until my heart pops.
Oh, yeah.
This is the only way I can describe this song.
You texted that to me, too, which was...
Yeah, and that's exactly how I feel about it. Just the rhythm to this song, like for the verse and the intro. So good. It's just got an energy that carries all the way through. Yeah, and to be honest with you, I'm not even, I've obviously heard Motley Crue, I know about them, I know their history and all that, because I've seen VH1, you know? But, yeah, definitely check this song out if you're not familiar with who Motley Crue is, or really, the guitar work in this song is just so 80s metal, man, it really, really is.
It definitely is, and it's definitely, if I were to pick any Motley Crue song to introduce someone to, it would be this. This is like that and Shadow of the Devil are their two most iconic songs, I think.
Right, yeah. And I was going to do Shadow of the Devil, but this song just gets me, man. Like, I heard it when I was working at a pizza place down here, and it would come on the radio usually like around the same time every day. I feel like radio stations have like a playlist and like the same songs come on at the same time every day. But it was really cool because the song would come on right about the time where I'd be in my shift where I was starting to get tired and like, oh, I just want to go home. And then it would just pump me back up. You know what I mean?
I like it.
Yeah. I decided I decided to learn this song because I had to.
Because you had to.
It was stuck in my head, so I was like, all right, I'm going to learn how to play it on guitar just to get it out.
Nothing wrong with that. You can say that Kickstart Your Heart is your metal coffee. See, I brought it back. See, that's what I do. Anyway, that was corny as fuck, but I don't give a fuck. Motley Crue, legendary. A lot of this music that we're going to be talking about today, like, my dad was super into. So, like, I'm happy that it won, and I'm tickled to listen to, a lot of this stuff every time it comes up. I had to send my playlist to my dad and ask him what he thought of it, and he told me that I should replace one of the songs with what I'm going to be talking about next, and that is a Dio song, and it's not Holy Diver, though that song is amazing, and Killswitch does an amazing cover of it.
Oh my god, yeah,
it's one of my favorite cover songs ever.
Their cover rips.
But this one is called Rainbow in the Dark. I love this song specifically for the keyboards in it. Not to mention Dio is an amazing singer and great front man, and the band's awesome. Not to mention I kind of favor his Black Sabbath verse over Ozzy's. What I talked about last week. But this song is just awesome. I just love the keyboards. It's an iconic, like, when you hear those keyboards, you know what song you're listening to. And I remember my dad playing like a best of Dio tape in the car, and he would always play this, and it's always on the radio too. Feel like it's also in that rotation you were talking about with Kickstart My Heart. Rainbow in the Dark's in there somewhere. It's just, I don't know. I love listening to it. And every time I hear it, it brings back memories with my dad and just listening to the stuff that he listens to. But like I said, those keyboards are, I'm a sucker for keyboards in metal. I don't know why, but it's just something that I enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have their place, like, in metal. Like, well, I mean, now, especially, like, symphonic black metal and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That may be why you're into that kind of stuff, too.
That's true.
Because there's heavy. Yeah. It's really that is super heavy in their instrumentation and, like, symphonic black metal and things.
I also like power metal, too, and that's probably where I get it, too. Is power metal is just funny to me, and, like, it's like over the top, but it's fun. We'll have to
for
do
people
an episode
who don't know
it.
What power metal is, if you've ever heard of Dragon Force, that's what the entire genre of power metal sounds like.
Yeah, and there's like, yeah, we'll talk about that another day. That's a topic
I can talk about for hours. That's a different topic. Yeah, so my next song is one that every single person knows, but this was kind of something we listened to a lot in high school. Jukebox Hero by Foreigner.
Yes.
Yep. You can't talk about the 80s, especially metal, without mentioning Foreigner.
Agreed.
Too many hits. So many, in fact, that Aqua Teen Hunger Force made it a joke in one of their episodes, probably one of their most successful jokes in their entirety of their existence.
I would agree with
the Foreigner belt.
I wish they had. I'm sure someone's made it. I'm sure there's like a prop somewhere, but like that someone made. Obviously, it's an animated show, but someone had to made it or make it, and I would love it. I would love to have that for sure.
Yeah, but Foreigner's just amazing. Anyway, like their songs are so easily stuck in your head.
Yep.
Like, you don't have to listen to it a couple of times, just once, and it's in your head forever.
It's funny that you brought up Foreigner, too. It's like, I was just thinking about the stuff that we would listen to in school. Like, there were so many different genres, and this actually came up the other day, and I was talking to Dan Green, of all people, and I feel like that's who was listening to that, like, that group of, like...
Yep.
Yeah, so it's just funny that we were talking about that the other day. It's funny go ahead.
No. I was just going to say that I don't really have much more to say about Foreigner other than the fact that they're super catchy, and if you haven't heard them, you've been living under a rock.
I'm sure people, like, would never, like, wouldn't put a name to, like, a sound, but I'm sure, like, if you either heard them in a movie or on the radio, like, flipping by... Or like in a commercial. I don't know if I don't think I've ever heard a Foreigner song in a commercial, but I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah, you might not know the name, but you've heard this song.
You definitely heard this one. Yeah, I heard this one. My next song on this amazing topic that we're talking about today is a band that, well, right now is split in two. So they're suffering from, you know, who owns the name of the band. Like, so there's two different versions of Queensryche. But
I had no idea about any of this.
Yeah, it's funny. Back when VH1 Classics was around, they had a show called That Metal Show, and they used to talk about it all the time. But I picked the song Jet City Woman. I heard it on a mix before, like a compilation, like an 80s metal compilation that I got for Christmas one year, and the beginning of the song is this really, really addicting, catchy. It sets the song, you know, sets the tone of the song, it sets the mood of the song. It's this bass line, and the chorus is really, really catchy. And I love the vocalist. I gotta come up find his name. He looks like Howie Mandel now. I always thought that was funny. Every time I saw like a picture of him, he's got bald hair and he's got like this goatee. Looks like Howie Mandel. if you don't know who that is, you've probably been living under a rock too, because most of the people
or you're really young.
Yeah. What is this guy's name? Because it's gonna bother
most people would say Howie Mandel from like, you know, a couple of his other things. Howie Mandel to me is forever from Little Monsters.
Little Monsters or Bobby's World, because he created that. And
that's true.
Love that show. Jeff Tate is who. The guy's got a great voice. And Queensrÿche is like their song. They're like their most famous song, I feel like, is Silent Lucidity. But Jet City Woman blows that out of the water for me. So I don't really listen to the band, but I'll put this song anytime. It's a jam for sure.
All right. Yeah. So, I mean, moving right along. My next one would be Hot for Teacher by Van Halen.
Yes.
The song rules. Dude, the drum, like, this song came out and like the drum intro, like how quick he does that double bass stuff, mm-hmm. just blew people's minds. And yeah, I heard Dillinger covered it live once, I think.
Oh fuck.
I don't think there's a studio version. I might be wrong about that, but they definitely did it live and it's dope.
I can't imagine, man. That's
the original's incredible. I mean, obviously Eddie, like I play guitar, so if Eddie was, you know, I respect the hell out of him. But yeah, there's a million other Van Halen songs I could have picked, you know, Eruption, whatever. But Hot for Teacher is definitely, no, I don't want to say like underplayed or underrated, because it's one of their biggest hits. But I feel like other songs get more credit than this song does.
I would totally agree with that. And that was David Lee Roth, Van Halen, the original Van Halen. And was that song off of 1984, right?
I believe so.
Okay. So that was like the final David Lee Roth record. I was actually just watching this music video the other day. Someone was talking about it on a video, or like it was in a show, so I had to like pull it up. It was a YouTube channel. It's these two guys who are mainly like, there's this new trend on YouTube of like people who strictly listen to hip hop, or like they're Christians and they'll listen to a genre of music that is probably blasphemous to them, or like they're not really into. And I found that they were listening to, they were watching a video of Hot for Teacher. That's where it was from. So then they ended up liking the song and thinking it was good. But that's like the new trend on YouTube. It is. It's very good.
Because it is really good. And I mean, like what I wanted to say about Motley Crue is like, they're like pop metal 80s. You know what I mean? They were like arena hair metal.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
But if you actually listen to that first guitar riff, not like the thing that sounds like a car starting up, because it's just like a tremolo trick, like a dive bomb, but like the actual riff, when that is a hardcore riff that they turn into like a power pop song.
Never looked at it like that way.
So dope. You know what I mean? Because when you listen to that, like back in 1980, you know, something, let me, what year did that come out? Kickstart. All right. It came out.
What album is that on?
It came out in 1989. So that's the tail end of the 80s.
Okay.
Hardcore bands did exist, but like not in the limelight at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Very underground still. Hmm. I feel like Nikki Sixx, what's his name? Mick Mars was probably like so into that kind of music, probably. Because I feel like a lot of these guys are into like stuff that was heavy. Obviously.
Oh,
they
yeah.
had to been.
Absolutely.
I keep forgetting that Nikki Sixx is the bass player. So I'm just like, Mick Mars over there by himself playing his guitar, and I just forget. I'm sorry, Mick. I have a Van Halen song at the end for like a bonus, because I wanted to talk about like the, because I saw that you had Roth Van Halen. I wanted to talk about Hagar Van Halen at the end. We'll get to that. But my next song, I had to put this on here when I knew this one. This was the first song that came to mind, and it combines two of my favorite things of all time, and that is horror and metal. And this song's called Dream Warriors. It's by Dokken, who are a powerhouse in the 80s like metal scene. This song was featured in Nightmare on Elm Street 3, the Dream Warriors, and this was like the theme song. And that was back when like horror films adopted music or had songs written for them by like very popular bands at the time. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street had Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff do a song for them. Jason had Alice Cooper, and so on and so forth. So this was really cool, and the song's awesome. It's catchy. It's like an anthem. So you raise your fists up and down singing the chorus. And like I said, it combines my two favorite things. And then I read a story the other, like a couple weeks ago, about how Robert Englund talked about how he used to do coke with Dokken. And they snorted coke off the razor, the claws that he has, the knife glove, which is still one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I don't know how serious he was, because Robert Englund could be he's a jokester, obviously. He's Freddy Krueger, so. But I, if it's true, if that is a real thing, my God, what a legend. It just adds to his myth.
That's so sick.
Right? It's just like I read that. I was like, yep, I that's why I love you.
But, yeah. That's fucking Dokken. Rockin' like Dokken, man.
Rockin' like Dokken.
But, that was... Let's go to my next song. Should I do him now? No, okay. I'll save him for last. I'll do I Wanna Rock by Twisted Sister.
Oh, yes.
Because the video is so dope. The video is so good for this song.
Yes, it is.
And Twisted Sister is awesome. I was going to do a Cheap Trick song, but my favorite Cheap Trick song and everybody's favorite Cheap Trick song came out in 77.
Okay.
So,
was that Surrender?
I Want You to Want Me.
Oh, okay. All right, you went the other way with that. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to do Cheap Trick because, like, I really like that song.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, since this is we do, like, more personalized lists.
Yeah.
So, Twisted Sister, D. Snyder's a badass dude. He's, like, one of those dudes that's always on VH1 and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And that video for Twisted Sister got a ton of play. That I Wanna Rock video. What do you want to do with your life?
I love it. And it was at the time, too. It was, like, MTV was at its... I feel like...
That was its pinnacle. Like, people like to say that TRL was the MTV pinnacle, but it wasn't.
It definitely wasn't. I mean, that was when it was cool still, but, like, that was, like, the tail end of its cool. And in the 80s, it was the best.
Because in the 80s, MTV just played music videos.
Yes, sir.
There was no, like, real world or anything or road rules.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, and I'll be honest with you, like, yeah, I agree. 80s MTV, when it was just music, was the best. But I
Headbangers Ball,
any of those shows. But I have a soft spot for 90s, early 2000s MTV before it went total shit. Because I was always a big fan of that Spring Break show. Every time they have bands play, and then, like, there's, you know, girls in bikinis dancing and, like, dudes trying to mac up, and you can see the rejection happening when music is over. It's the best.
Oh, that's the best.
And all those shows. But no, Headbangers Ball. And I loved when they brought it back, too, and Jamie Jasta hosted it. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. And that's where I discovered, what do you call it? What is that band? Celtic Frost. They played one of the songs, one of their songs of, like, their most recent album. And I was, like, blown away. I've never heard something like that in my life. So it was cool.
Dude, I remember seeing the Metallica 1 video late at night on MTV when I was a kid, and it scared the shit out of me. I'm talking, like, I was, like, probably 7 years old.
Yeah.
And that video is really creepy. at a certain point.
It's like black and white, right? Or like sepia tone?
I think it's black and white or like some kind of really muted colors with a blue filter or something.
Okay, yeah. It's been a while since I've seen a video, but I know which one you're talking about. I didn't see that until later in life, but I knowing like it's just like quick shots of stuff, dark, like really dark. Yeah, I could see why it could scare you for sure.
Yeah. God, MTV used to rule.
Yes, it did. I mean, I would. There's still like MTV has like there's like secondary and like third channels where the one channel literally just plays music videos all the time. I think it's like MTV Classic now. I think that's where.
Yeah, they have an MTV Live too.
Yeah, which is pretty cool too. I like watching both of those because it feels legit, and they always have like these blocks where it's like all rock or like all hip hop or like there's the all 90s one, which is a soft spot for me.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, that would segue into your next jam.
All right. So, like I said, I feel like this list was definitely inspired by my dad. For sure, because like a lot of these bands is what I like. Any of these bands, it's because of my parents or my dad specifically. I feel like this might be his favorite band. I would have to ask him, like, so if I named you all these bands or like what is your favorite 80s band, he would say Scorpions. Have a very, very big soft spot for Scorpions. They have so many good hits. And I remember my first, I knew my dad played that stuff in the car, but like my first copy of anything that had Scorpions on it was the Stone Cold Metal album that came out that WWE put out. Like it was like a compilation of Stone Cold Steve Austin's favorite songs. And it was all like rock or metal. And it was really fucking cool. One of the cool things that WWE did back in the day, so, of course, the song that he picked, because it was a compilation of, like, mostly known songs. He picked Rock You Like a Hurricane. Song's awesome, but I picked No One Like You, which is another good jam. Michael Schenker, I mean, awesome. I can't really tell you why I like the song. It's just stuck in my head, and Scorpions rule anyway, so it's simple. But it's because of my dad. It's my dad plays... or used to play all this stuff. I mean, I don't drive around with him anymore because I'm an adult and live on my own and all that good stuff. But
I'm an adult.
And he lives down the shore. And I was going to pick Wind of Change. That's my favorite Scorpion song. It's very inspirational and like I love just the sound of the song. But that came out in 1990 and I was sad. So I had to pick something else. And I didn't want to pick like... Rock You Like a Hurricane or anything else, so I picked No One Like You. It's a pretty... I could have picked Big City Nights, but I feel like Big City Nights came out like it's 79 or 8, like, and it might have came out in 1980, but I don't know.
Yeah, actually making this list made me realize how many songs I thought were from the 80s that were actually from like between 77 and 79.
Yeah. It's that's what was one of the hardest parts about it, because I believe like the first Van Halen record come out in like, I want to say, I'm going to look, because I was going to pick a song from that. I'm going to look that up right now, because now that's going to haunt me. If I remember correctly.
Their first record came out in 78. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Van Halen came out in
78. Yeah.
So that was the confusing part. So I had to like really go in, like you said, and find it. But Scorpions. One thing I wish about the Scorpions that they would come to the United States and tour. Like they've been on their farewell thing. And I think they did a farewell tour here in America. Now they're just kind of staying over in Europe because they're from Germany. And I'm still waiting for the MTV goddamn Icons episode of Scorpions, because apparently Rammstein was going to do a song. That's all I want. That's all I want out of this world is that. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But anyway, yeah. So my next song would be my favorite 80s guitar player. A lot of people probably haven't heard of him, and it's a shame for a specific reason. That's Jason Becker, and the song is Altitudes. Jason Becker, for people who don't know, was one of those child virtuoso guitar players back in like the, you know, 70s. He was born in 69. So basically, by the time he was 16, he was signed by Shrapnel Records.
Okay.
Which is ridiculous. And basically what the label did was they paired him up with Marty Friedman, who was in his mid-20s at the time, or early 20s, and they made the band Cacophony.
Okay.
And then I believe Jason Becker had replaced Steve Vai in David Lee Roth's band.
Okay.
For the A Little Ain't Enough album, and then because Steve Vai had joined Whitesnake.
Okay. I didn't know
unfortunately, Jason Becker was diagnosed with ALS. And you know, he has extremely high medical expenses now, but he still writes music. He actually had an album come out not too long ago. He basically figured out a way of communicating to his dad with his eyes for musical notation. It's pretty incredible.
That's very incredible. Oh God. That's
And the song Altitudes is, this kid ripped. Like, he's one of those once in a generation guitar players, like talents, you know?
Yeah.
He's so incredibly talented, and it's just one of those things that life's completely unfair.
It's,
and the reason I found out about Jason Becker is because I like this company, this guitar company named Kiesel Guitars, and they still endorse him. They still make his signature model. And every time they sell one of his signature guitars, all the proceeds from it go to Jason directly.
That's amazing.
To help with his medical bills.
And you showed me the model, and it looks like a child's toy, and it's awesome. It's the coolest thing I've seen.
Instead of like fret, like dots or trapezoids or blocks for the fret inlays, it's got the actual numbers, but in like it says 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 12, but it's in like neon colors, and it looks sick.
It's really, it's definitely cool.
Yeah, it's a really sick, he's so good. But yeah, he played with David Lee Roth, Marty Friedman. I mean, it just sucks that he got ALS, and you know, he's 49 right now, and he's still writing music though. So good on him.
For sure. Finding, if you're able to find ways to do what you love, even with the circumstances you're given, it's incredible. Like, that is incredible. I think that's more incredible than a lot of things that, like, I don't, it's just so cool that he's still able to do that. And then, like, you have the drummer from Def Lepp who found a way to play drums with just one arm. And I still can't believe that happened to, like, knowing that and knowing about this amazing guitar player, that, like, just, you know, anyone who complains about not being able to do anything, that doesn't matter. You know, you should be able to do what you love no matter what.
Yeah. And also, if you're interested in finding out more about Jason and his story, you can YouTube Jason Becker Not Dead Yet. It's a documentary that came out in 2012. It goes over his whole life. And honestly, if that doesn't make you cry, you have no heart. It has like interviews and stuff with like Steve Vai, Marty Friedman, Richie Kotzen, Joe Satriani, just people he played with, and he's in it too. And so is his family. So yeah, it's a really, really cool thing to watch, especially because, like, you know, it's about 80s metal too, you know?
I'll definitely check it out. I know you sent it to me. I have to put it on, because I know my friend upstairs would love to watch that. He probably already knows who he is. Like, my friend's got a knowledge of this genre too, so I'll have to ask him.
Yeah, listen to that whole Perpetual Burn album that this song Altitudes is on.
Sweet. I'll definitely do so. I'm looking up his stuff here on as we go here, and just like all the people you played with, and you mentioned, like, you know, Richie Kotzen, he's one of my faves.
And Steve Vai, obviously.
Of course.
Everybody knows who Steve Vai is.
I found out Steve Vai through Full Sail in the catalog that I got back freshman year. He was like in the catalog, and I was like, this dude looks legendary. That's what I said. I remember saying it to myself. So I like looked him up, and I was like, oh God, this dude rules. And then he was in that movie with, forget who it was. Maybe it was it Fred Savage or?
No, it was Ralph Macchio.
Okay, that's it's just one of those 80s guys, but you know what movie I'm talking about.
Yep, Crossroads, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. I was watching that like a couple weeks ago, and that's funny. But so I have a bonus. Since, you know, Sean talked about Van Halen, I'm going to talk about Van Hagar. So that's what I call him. And not to mention, Cabo Wabo is a really good restaurant. Go check it out. So I have to say, so, like, lyrically speaking, I always felt like Sammy had the upper hand. I love David Lee Roth. Amazing voice, amazing front man. But if I'm going to go for, like, lyrical content that I can, you know, get behind, it's definitely Sammy Hagar. And the album that came out after David left, 5150, produced so many hits. Like, I love Why Can't This Be Love, Dreams, Best of Both Worlds. But, like, my favorite song off the album is Love Walks In, because I'm corny as fuck. And I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I'm very corny. I've been named G Corny by a couple of females that I've been talking to lately. So don't tell anyone. It's a great song. I love the piano. The guitar solos in it are really good. I mean, Eddie Van Halen is... I did a report on him in sixth grade. It was like a... We had to talk about, famous people that came from different countries that made a difference or made something of themselves here in America, which is, I could say, for a lot of people. And I picked David Lee Roth, or not David, Eddie Van Halen and Alex Van Halen, and they were on the list. And I was just like, of course I'm going to do this because I love Van Halen. And I don't know. I like this song a lot. It's called Love Walks In, and 5150 is amazing. And I found that on vinyl in Seattle when I was in Seattle for Christmas one year. And I was like, oh, buying it. Definitely. I was like, I can't find it like brand new somewhere in Seattle. So I just walked into that place and was like, oh, it's right there. Used. I'm going to buy it. Fuck it.
Dude. Nice. Nice. Yeah. It's funny because there's a huge split in the Van Halen fan base.
Yeah.
There's definitely a line. I feel like a lot more people like David Lee Roth, though.
Very true. It is. It's not hard not to feel that way, because the dude is, his energy's contagious, amazing vocals. That was like the epitome of Van Halen. And I don't have like, I'm not gonna be like, yeah, I love Van Hagar, but like, it's okay. I don't really like care for David Lee Roth. I like both eras. I even like Gary Cherone. I'm just kidding. I don't even know if I even heard anything he's put out with Van Halen. I don't remember what record he was on, but there was a third singer of Van Halen, everyone.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Gary Cherone. I think Gary Cherone came from a band, I want to say the band was called Extreme. I think he was the lead singer of Extreme. So,
okay.
But no, I like both eras. It depends on how I feel. Obviously, when the Devils are in the playoffs, I play Running with the Devil all day long. I also like Eruption. That first album is great. Van Halen 2 also has a great song, Dance the Night Away. I know that song because, you know, it was on the radio, but it was also in the movie called Mission to Mars, which was really cool. And that, like, they're up in the space station, or they're like in their space shuttle going to Mars, and they're like bored and the song comes on and they start dancing and it's cute. But yeah, that's enough of my Van Halen talk. That's my bonus. I was going to put like 10 things on here, but I only stomach to put one on.
But yeah, that concludes this episode of Songs for the Moment. You can find us on Instagram at Songs Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Songs Podcast. You can find me on both of those places at Sean Songs Cast. And Glenn, where can people find
you? They can find me nowhere. No, I'm just kidding. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to add me on Snapchat, I don't use it. But if you want to, it's there. At Real G-Rod, that is G-R-O-D. I still get called Grod on Twitch when I subscribe or hit a follow. And they're like, oh, thanks, Real Grod or Grod Show. Like... just look at it. I know you. I it's not hard. It's when I say thank you in the chat, it says the G-Rod. Like, it's whatever. Anyway, yeah, Real G-Rod. And also, we, like I said in the beginning of the episode, we have a Station Head channel. You can find us on there at Songs Podcast and find out more information about what we're gonna soon. On songspodcast.com, you'll find the information there on all social media as well. And you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, CastBox, Stitcher, wherever, if you're listening to this somewhere else or like on the website or whatnot, or on Anchor. And a shout out to Anchor for being our host. They're amazing. I love Anchor.
Yeah. Yeah. They've helped us out a lot
for sure. And just the be able to upload the show and them doing the distribution for us and the statistics, and it's just really good and really awesome, and they're great people too. They get back to you when you need help. Can't say.
Yeah, it's not like you email them and have to wait like a week for a response.
For sure. So, but that's it for us. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Songs for the Moment, where every moment has a soundtrack. Peace out.
Later, guys.